Well, right then. Hi, and welcome aboard. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. So glad to have you tuned in with us. I'm Tom Ryan, your host for the next hour. Heidi Morales, Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host as well, and engineer extraordinaire here as well.
I hope I'm an extraordinaire.
You're going to have to keep me honest today, Heidi. We're going to be doing half of an album today because it's a double. As you know, on Wednesdays, we take a look at albums that we consider to be classic in one way or another. Half of them are classic from the top 40. The other half we consider classic, even though they didn't sell enough or weren't popular enough to qualify on Billboard's top 40. This album, however, did. It is a live album, not James Brown's first live album, but nevertheless a live album that James Brown released in September of 1970, and it reached number 29 on the pop charts. Of course, the album that was huge for him, an earlier album that I think was from 1962, was Live at the Apollo. That song isn't on our list simply because we started our list in 1964, and that album predated it. So the album, Sex Machine, which, as I said, was released in September of 1970 and went to number 29, was a double album that James Brown released at what was the peak of his career. And there's a rather weird backstory to this, I guess on a personal level, from my own personal level. My history with this album is pretty interesting for me. Anyway, I just got to say that.
You fascinate yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm amazed by me. I mean, I must admit that I seriously underrated this album for years. I think it was the very first James Brown album that I ever bought. And I bought it. It was a long time ago. I probably bought it around 1976, which would have put me at about, 17 years old. And I found it in a cutout bin. I remember that. I brought it home and I played it, but I was I was unimpressed with the cheap packaging on the record. It was just really corny and the cardboard was feeling cheap. The glue was coming undone already that holds it together. But I figured, hey, it's live James Brown. It must be good.
How could it be bad?
Right? So I think it was the first James Brown album that I ever bought. However, I distinctly remember feeling disappointed when I played the record for the first time. The album seemed to be about as cheaply produced as the packaging, from what my first impressions were. It utilized, for example, side one utilized the exact same MC introduction as the MC introduction on side three. They literally took it and cut it and made it two different starts on the same album for two different sides. I'm like, oh man, that is a sign of cheapness. I considered it really almost unforgivable at the time. Like, really? It just seems so corny and dumb that they would do that. I was also a bit suspicious about whether or not it even really was a live album. Turns out I was right about that part, too.
Uh-huh.
So after a while, I relegated the album to my basement. And as Heidi knows, the basement is the place where all albums go that I don't particularly care for. It's sort of like a...
But they don't always stay there.
Not always. It's very rare for them to come back up. But sometimes it happens. So let's cut to sometime around 1990, about 15 years or so later. At that time, I'm reading a copy of Spin Magazine's Top 25 Albums of All Time list. And what album do you think they listed at number one?
Not this one.
Yes,
no
this
way.
One.
That's crazy talk.
They listed James Brown's Sex Machine as the best album of all time. Now, that was obviously going to pique my curiosity because I knew I owned it and I had it in the basement. I was like, I didn't even like it. So I thought then, and I still do think, that Spin Magazine is insane. But
they do make some dubious choices.
That's just ludicrous, right? I mean, you think about every album that's released in the history of the universe, and they name this as the best of all time. But the fact that they did that did get me to give the album another listen.
You had to reevaluate.
I had to go down to my basement, you know, pull it out, find it, you know, on my shelf, and bring it up, give it another listen. And this is after ignoring it for nearly 15 years now. I suddenly realized that my initial instinct for purchasing the album in the first place, they were spot on. It is James Brown live. I mean, how bad can that be? So I'm like, what was there for me to hate except for the fact that the record was corny and cheap looking? And actually, it's great to hear, you know, let James Brown be his own bad self. And his performance here in this album is fairly incredible. And the bands, it turns out that there are different musicians on the two record halves, part one and part two. They're great, too. Yes, it's cheap. Yes, it's deceitful because this album that we're going to play today, the first half of this quote-unquote live album, are studio tracks with audience noise dubbed on top and an introduction. It's not really even live.
It's not his first time at that rodeo, though.
I mean, a few people were doing it. I remember, like, the Stones were the most egregious about it.
Yes.
Because when the Rolling Stones did it, they were so stupid about it that they put all the audience noise on one side and they put the studio recording on the other side. So you could literally play one ear and there'd be no crowd because it was the studio version on one track. Here, at least, it's mixed. But the first half of the album is James Brown with the Collins brothers in his band. That's Catfish Collins on guitar and Bootsy Collins on bass. Two of the most funky individuals, you know, in the history of soul music. And now playing with James Brown, the godfather of soul, that speaks for itself. So, like I said, it might be cheap and it is deceitful because the whole side with the Collins brothers was actually studio recordings. They even recorded, this is even funny, one of the tracks is a medley. So of course you think it's live because it's three songs blending together. Something you would do live, but no, they did it in the studio and they dumped the audience noises on it. But still, taken as a whole, this is one of the best albums that James Brown released at the height of his funkiness. How bad can it be? Right? So we're going to play sides one and two today. Next week, we'll go to what is the legitimately live album. That will be sides three and four. Being that we're playing sides one and two, the sides are relatively short. It's just too long for me to fit the entire album into one show. It's about 66 minutes as a double album, which means I've got about 33 minutes of music. What I've really got for today is three tracks. The title track, one of the song, which is actually a hit single with audience noise on it. And then a third track, which is the medley. Like I said, it's weird. Everything about it is nuts. But James Brown's career is totally weird. So put into context, if you're going to pick James Brown albums somewhere on your list of like the best albums between 1964 and the present, this really is probably your best choice. It's an amazing record, even with all of this glib bizarreness about it. Now, around this time, Sex Machine was his hit single. He had it, it was like a divided in halves. So it was part one and part two. So it was about 6 minutes long. He went back into the studio and recorded it a second time. This time it was about 10 and a half minutes long with the Collins brothers, like I said, with Bootsy and Catfish. Bobby Bird is on organ. It's Bobby Bird also doing the rap with James Brown. As James Brown's basically does what sort of it's Bobby Bird saying, "Get on up, get up, get on up."
Get up,
all that stuff. That's Bobby Bird. So this is a re-recording, about a 10-minute, as I said, it's about 10 minutes or so of one of the best things that James Brown ever did in his career. And it might be the definitive version of the song. So here is the title track, without further ado. Get Up, I Feel Like Being a Sex Machine on 90.3 WHPC.
The star of the show, Hard working Mr. Dolomite, James Brown!
Well, look here. I'd like to get up and do my thing. Okay, well, let me kind of move these things around here, you know. Let me just get up and do my thing, yeah, you understand? Can I really get into it?
Yeah.
Can I get into the thing, really?
Yeah.
Like a sex machine?
Yeah.
Moving?
Yeah.
Doing it?
Yeah.
Can I get into it?
Yeah.
Can I get into all our things?
Yeah.
We ready to get into it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna count it off, Jab. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine. Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine. Wait a minute, shake your arm, then lose your form. Stay on the scene like a sex machine. You got to have the feel, but sure as your bone. Get it together, right on, right on. Get up,
get on up,
get up,
get on up.
Stay on the scene,
get on up,
like a sex machine. The way I like it, that's the way it is. You got yours, huh? Don't worry about it. Get up.
Get on up.
Set. Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a loving machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a loving machine.
Get on up.
Can I take it to the bridge, fellas?
Yeah.
You ready to go to the bridge? I don't know where you want to go, but you ready?
Yeah.
You ready to go to the bridge?
Yeah.
You ready to go to it?
Yeah.
Get me back. Come on. Come on. Stay on the scene like a sex machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. The way I like it is the way it is. Don't worry about it. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene, huh? Like a loving machine. Stay on the scene. Stay on the scene. Can I go back to the top?
Yeah.
Can I start one more again?
Yeah.
Can I start like I did before?
Yeah.
Can I start like I did before?
Yeah.
You ready? Can I got it?
Yeah.
Can I hit it?
Yeah.
Hit me now. Come on. Get on up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
But
get on up.
Taste a piano.
Get on up.
Hassan.
Yeah.
Taste a piano. Taste a piano.
Get on up.
Get up,
get on up,
Can I
do it?
What?
Set the scene.
Can I
do it?
Tell me what?
Set the scene.
Can I
do it?
What?
Set the scene.
Can I
do it?
What?
Set the scene.
Can I
do it?
Tell me.
Set the scene.
Can I
do it? Set the scene.
Got it. Can I?
Can I get a few, bruh? I put the thing on me, but don't put it. We travel together. But I'm gonna get on my thing. Can I stay on the scene?
Yeah.
Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Is it all right if I hit it and quit?
Yeah.
You think we should hit it and quit?
Yeah.
Otherwise we hit it and we're done.
Yeah.
Hit it and you're done.
Yeah.
Hit me now.
And there they bring in that audience noise.
You know, the thing is, like,
it seems a little staid for, I think he would have gotten a much more energetic applause had he actually.
And, you know, the performances that he was doing around this time were awesome. I just think that they weren't getting the recording quality that they wanted. Mm-hmm. And it was too much and it was trouble. Although on sides 3 and 4 of the album, it really is live, but it's a different band. You see, he went on the road with a different group of musicians, apparently. So, like I said, it might be a farce, but it's a good one. I mean, this is more or less an invention of an entirely new type of funk with what he's doing here. And he was just a remarkable human being, what he was doing. I mean, it's almost odd. I mean, because I was such a fan of music, and James Brown was famous in this, you know, in the mid '60s. His earlier hits like "I Got You," "I Feel Good," and "It's a Man's Man's World." Stuff like that. Papa's Got a Brand New Bag were just stunning to hear on the radio. I had no idea what he was talking about. Had no idea, not a clue. I mean, he may as well have been a Martian, considering, like, you know, what my life was like as a child. But you start living with it and you start hearing other things. And that's when I started, like, saying, like, you know what? That guy was awesome. It was like when I was like maybe hitting like my late teens and 20s when I decided to try to get into him. But this album was a weird introduction because it really didn't do it for me. I still really didn't get it until I was maybe in my mid 30s. And now I love it. When this album came out, the album Sex Machine is what we're talking about, the double album. First of all, this was his sixth live album. They put out 6 live albums already, you know, 5 albums before this. He put out Live at the Apollo in 62. He put out a live album in 64. Didn't do so well. Put out 2 live albums in 1967 and another one in 1968. Live at the Apollo, like I said, is total classic. But this one comes close only because of the way that it changes the sound so drastically and does it in a quasi-live environment. Now, another interesting fact is this pretty much marks the exact midpoint of his career. Believe it or not, at this point by 1970, do you know how many studio albums James Brown had released? Forget the live albums I just mentioned.
I have no idea.
28.
That's insane.
Right? It was 28 studio albums from when he started in around 1961 until now, 1970. So that's 3 albums a year, 3 studio albums per year that he did. After this album came out, the second half of his career, he released another 28. So there you go. There's like the 56 studio albums by James. I'm not counting the live albums, not counting all the compilations, which, by the way, there are maybe about 50 of those that are out there, things that compile different parts of his career. I mean, there's James Brown instrumental compilation albums. There's James Brown with different bands, you know, performing stuff that James Brown playing the organ albums. There's all sorts of crazy stuff out there. And you know what? You begin to realize that a lot of it's really good. His career is worth digging into. But like I said, I've only got 3 to play today on this album. I'm not going to kill too much time, though, by talking too much, though, because I do want to maybe, if we have extra time at the end, I presume we will, I can maybe play some tracks from one of those studio albums that came out around this time, and you can hear some of the weird stuff that he was doing. So let's play the next track. This was actually a single with the Audience Noise dubbed on top of it. It's called Brother Rap, Parts 1 and 2 on WHPC 90.3.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. From the album Sex Machine. Just heard Brother Rap Parts 1 and 2. And, you know, when you listen to this, is you can hear why I was suspicious about whether or not it was really live. The way the crowd sound just suddenly comes in out of nowhere at the end, and the band isn't even done. But
if
all
you've
of a sudden,
heard any of his other live albums, his audience is always very animated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you listen, that's kind of what made the first live at the Apollo so amazing. You hear, like, people screaming. It's like they're passing out during the performance.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so much fun to hear that record. And we did, by the way, I should mention quickly that if you like our show, you can find it on our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com. And on Friday, when we do How Music Changed, we did a whole series of shows on James Brown. We covered his entire history. And I remember us specifically covering the Live at the Apollo album and having a great time. If you want to hear any of those shows, though, go to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com. The whole series of these, the 200 albums or so that we've covered so far in this series, they're all there, uploaded. The entire batch of them, 200 plus, I believe it is. If you check them out, you can just find the albums that interest you or pique your curiosity. It's kind of I think it's a cool way to basically do it because, yeah, you could hear albums if you want to go on to YouTube, I suppose, or, you know, however else, whatever, Spotify or whatever it is that you subscribe to. But the cool, you know, this, I just think this is a little bit cooler because you get to hear the album intact with as much information as we're able to provide, you know, for better or worse. Yeah, there it is. So I hope if you check it out, it might be fun. It's at AmericanHitNetwork.com. By the way, while I'm talking, I want to promote another show here at the station. A good friend, Earl Holder.
DJ Solero
basically has his own show here on Sundays at 4 p.m. dedicated to Sly Stone. So this is a cool time to mention it. If I'm doing James Brown, Sly Stone is basically just a hop, skip, and a jump away, stylistically. In fact, they're pretty much, they're in the same tree, those two
guys. It's a funky nation.
Right. So you can explore the music of funk icon Sly Stone as DJ Solero spins Sly's musical contributions, as well as showcasing his influence on contemporary music through the artists and groups who continue to cover his songs and sample his music. So check out Earl. He's great at what he does.
He's amazing.
For a while, he was like working for us. He's in Heidi's position. He was our engineer for a long time, and he always called me the professor. But I got to say,
Earl's the doctor of musicology.
Yeah, Earl's a professor himself, no doubt about
it. Doctor of funk.
All right, then. If you flipped the album over at this point in time, you'd get the medley that makes up side two. And that is what we're going to do right now. If you've got some time left over, like I said, I can play a couple of bonus tracks. So what you're going to hear now is a studio recorded medley that was done, to make the audience believe that it was a live record. But like I said, it was a ruse, but, you know, who cares? It sounds great. I mean, as I'm saying, now that I, you know, am fully clear about the history of this record, it's not in my basement anymore, I promise. I wouldn't put it on my list of best albums of all time if I thought that any longer. So, Spin Magazine, you're out of your mind, but still, thank you for, you know, turning me on to something that I might have overlooked. The medley, by the way, consists of Bewildered, then I Got the Feeling into Give It Up or Turn It Loose on 90.3 WHPC.
Bewildered. you. I got to keep you, baby. Hey, I remember it. I remember a long time ago. You left me standing. You left me standing in the doorway crying. So I said, please don't leave me. You just didn't pay me no mind. Kept right on going, baby. And I had to find a brand new love. I said, try me. You just didn't seem to let that thing register on your mind. You kept right on moving, baby. That's all right. I know your day will be coming, baby. I said it was a man's world, but I stepped back like a man and give you credit. I said it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. But that didn't faze you, baby. Hey! Even when I told you I lost someone, you said, go on, go on, go on, go on. Find yourself a brand new love. But I did that too. I kept right on making it, baby. And then you wanna come back. So you want me to take care of you, but I just can't seem to reach you, baby. Hey, 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 hey! Ay, 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 ay. I just can't seem to reach you, baby. I can't go back, baby. And then you told me, when I touch you, baby, you said you break out in a cold sweat. Sometimes I get to feeling so good I can't stand myself. But I kept right on moving, baby. I even got to the place I had to do my thing. Had to let the world know, baby. Let the world know now. I jumped back and said, baby, there was a time you called me. You told me that I was your one and only love. That's all right, baby. I don't have to cry no more. Free at last, free at last, free at last, baby. Free, free, and I'm over you, I'm over you. So I wanna sing it out, help me fella, and hit me real hard. Hey, hit me baby.
when I want like a sex machine. Give me now.
Boots.
there you have it, the first half of the album, Sex Machine, James Brown's double live album. I'm going to play the second half next week, so if you're into it, James Brown will be doing that as well. It should be pretty cool. Now, what we want to do here with the time that we got left is maybe play some tracks from his... is it a different number? Okay, yeah, whatever it is. Okay. I wanted to look to find out what James Brown was doing with his studio albums at around this time. Like I said, he released so many that I never even began to dive into them all. It seems like it would just be like a crazy endeavor because it's just so many. But what I'd like to do is the album that came out just before Sex Machine was a record called Soul on Top. Now, this is interesting because it's like James Brown with a big band. It's actually Louie Bellson and his orchestra that's backing James Brown on this album. It's called Soul on Top. And he recorded a bunch of classics, probably trying to get a different audience, including some of his own tunes in different versions. And some of it is incredibly surprising. What did you come up with, Heidi? What song is it that you have?
Well, I found September Song. It's not where you told me it was.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Then we can do that. I don't know why it would be somewhere else, but that's what I see on my list. Be that as it may, September Song is one of those songs that I would associate with Frank Sinatra, for example. I think he's done one of the more famous versions of that song. And hearing that James Brown did a version definitely piqued my curiosity. And I said, you know what, I know I'm going to have extra time, so let's hear what this record sounds like. What else was James Brown doing in 1970 when this live album is breaking incredible new ground in terms of funk? And I was shocked by what I heard. You'll see what I mean when you hear this. James Brown from the album Soul on Top. Here he is performing September Song on 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, it's a long time from May to December, but the days grow short. Can't you count it now? When you reach September, when the autumn weather turns, get hot, leaves to flame. One hasn't got time, one ain't, by the waiting game. Hear me now. September, bringing up
yesterday. Yeah, I'll spend with you. Yeah, let me spend them. Don't cut short. Let me spend them, woman. Let me tell you what I'll do. I put more Clyde in your stride, more gut in your strut. Don't dig it, don't dig it. You can't be old without a hole in your soul. I put more Clyde in your stride, more gut in your strut. Good stuff.
You got to admit, that was fascinating.
Yes. Fascinating is a good choice.
It's. I mean, how strange is that? It's amazing to hear that song become that funked up. You know, it's just incredible that he
can honestly say Sinatra would have never done it that way.
And that really is Lewis Belson on drums on that track. Maceo Parker is in the horn section. He's sitting in with all of Louis Belson's players. It's like an 18-piece orchestra on that thing.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. All right. I've got to play one more. Before I do, I want to remind you, by the way, up next, Zach Turkell is going to do his classic countdown. Going to be looking at this exact week in music. I believe Zach's choice for the year is going to be 1977. So it should be a lot of fun. And definitely worth your while.
You graduated from high school.
Yeah. Well, look at that. No, I was actually the year I got married for the first time, actually. Yeah, I was young. But, you know, whatever. Shouldn't have said that. Anyway, can't put that back in my mouth. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for staying tuned. Hope you enjoy James Brown. We're going to be back and we'll finish this album up next week. We'll leave you with one more of these weird tracks from Soul on Top, another really bizarre version. Can you imagine? Okay, what if James Brown, did he ever wake up and say, what would sound like if James Brown sung a Hank Williams song? This will answer your question. Here's
yo, cheat and hung will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come. Look in the whole night through. Your cheated heart will tell on you. When tears come down, hit me, baby. The way I do.